Three times he had heard bones splintering, accompanied by a mental howl. It was impossible to make any sound. Together the Edenists had toughed it out, their minds embraced, sharing and mitigating the pain. When it was over, he hadn't been alone in wiping tears from his eyes. Aethra had followed their entire heart-stopping plummet into the ring, showing it to them. He had thought the end had surely come for the second time in an hour. But the Adamist starship's exhaust had obliterated the ring particles as it crashed below the surface, eliminating any danger of collision. And the captain had matched velocities perfectly for the second time in an hour, slotting them neatly into a circular orbit buried right in the middle of the ring. The swarm of pursuing combat wasps and their submunitions had impacted seconds behind them, kinetic explosions tossing out a ragged sheet of fire. None had penetrated more than 100 meters below the surface. It had been an astounding piece of flying. Gora was very curious to meet the person who had such sublime control over a starship. It rivaled the union between a void hawk and its captain. There were three people standing on a stick pad around one of the consoles, two men and a woman, talking in low tones. It didn't help Gora's composure to see that it was the youngest, a man with a flat-featured face, who had the captain's star on his ship suit shoulder. He had been expecting someone different. "Don't prejudge," Tia admonished sternly. Most of the Edenists were using his senses to observe the scene. Voidhawk captains are only 18 when they start flying. "I wasn't going to say a word," Gora objected mildly. He swam past the ring of acceleration couches to touch his toes to a stick pad on the decking. "Captain Calvert?" The young man shrugged. "It's Joshua, actually." Gora felt his bottled-up emotions come close to brimming over. "Thank you, Joshua, from all of us." Joshua nodded shortly, the faintest blush colouring his cheeks. The woman beside him caught his discomfort and smiled secretively. "There," Tia said in satisfaction, "a perfectly ordinary young man, if exceptionally talented. I like him." Joshua introduced Sara and Dibe, then apologized for the acceleration. "But I had to stop us dead inside the ring," he said. "If we had gone through south of the ecliptic, the other starships would have seen us and come after us. Their drives could burn through the particles just as easy as Lady Mac did. Then we would have been sitting ducks for their combat wasps." "I wasn't complaining. In fact, we're really all rather surprised that we're still alive. How are your people holding out?" "Leatri, our doctor, says none of us have acquired any fatal internal injuries. Melvin Ducharme is helping her review my people in your surgery cabin. Metabolic scanning has revealed several broken bones and a lot of pulled muscles. She was most concerned about internal membrane damage. It could prove a problem unless treated swiftly. But Melvin Ducharme is rigging up a processor block that can interface her with your medical mnemonic packages." Joshua blinked, nonplussed. "Our own medical packages, all use biotech processors," Gora explained.
"Ah, right.
Leatri says we'll pull through. Mind you, it's going to take a long fortnight for the bruising to fade." "You're not the only one," Sara grimaced. "And you should take a look at where my bruises are." Joshua leered. "Promises, promises." "That was an awesome piece of flying you pulled off back there, Joshua," Gora said, "eluding two starships." "It's in the blood," he said, not quite nonchalantly. "Glad to be of help, really. We certainly haven't been much use to anybody else since we arrived in this star system."
"Go on," Tia urged. "Ask."
"But suppose it's an illegal flight. He was carrying combat wasps, don't forget. We'd have to give evidence."
"Then the law is an ass, and we'll all develop amnesia. Ask."
Gora smiled awkwardly.
"Joshua, exactly who are you? I mean, why come to Lalonde?"
Good question. Technically, Lady Mac is part of the Lalonde government's starship fleet helping to restore civil order. The Confederation Navy Squadron has other ideas, and according to them we're under arrest."
"Navy Squadron?"
Joshua sighed theatrically and started to explain.
The Edenists crowding the cabin in life support capsule D, which doubled as the surgery, listened with a mixture of gloomy dismay and confusion.